Talking Apple computers and accessories now on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Joe Rhodes, self-employed Macintosh support specialist out of Madison. Really pleased to have him back to be with us again. So we'll talk Apple computers and maybe a little about the iPhone, too, because there's some big things coming with the Apple iPhone, and you may be interested in that as well. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@WPR.org. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Larry. Thanks.
This the new iPhone, we should talk about that. It's the sort of the next generation of iPhones.
Yeah, well, there's actually two parts to the new iPhone that are coming out. One is the software, and then one is actually improved hardware. And the nice part is, for those of us who are not running out to buy a brand new phone, we like the one we've got. I've got one that's going on 2 years old now. We get the new software for free.
Cool.
And the new software includes a whole bunch of features that are pretty cool. One of the biggest ones that was requested is we can finally do a cut, copy, paste. So if we see some text in a web browser that we like, we can copy it and put it into an email. A lot of enhancements all across the board, and we get all those features for free. The biggest stuff that's happening with the software is kind of under the hood, so the end user isn't necessarily going to see those. What the end user is going to see is new applications are going to come out on the App Store that will do even more neat stuff, more fun stuff, more practical stuff. So all of the iPhones get that improved software, and that comes out in 2 days. That comes out on Wednesday. I'm really excited about that. Then the second part of this is Apple introduced a brand new piece of hardware, which looks exactly like the current piece of hardware. They call it the iPhone 3GS, and S is for speed. Basically, it's the same iPhone, the same great stuff you love. It's got a faster processor, so all the stuff that you do on the iPhone can happen a little bit faster. It has a compass built into it, so it can tell if you're facing north, south, east, or west. And this sounds like such a tiny little thing, unless you're like me and you're somewhat directionally impaired. And you can pull up a Google map and you can tap on the map and it will orient the map based on which way you are facing. So no longer do I have to turn my iPhone upside down so I can give someone left and right directions. I can orient the map the way I'm facing and say, okay, you go up two blocks and take a right, which makes it a ton more sense. A better camera's built in, and it has more storage capacity. So you can fit more songs, more TV shows, more movies on it. And in classic Apple style, the new, faster, better hardware costs the same as the hardware that it just replaced. And they're keeping around the previous generation iPhone 3G, and they've half the price. So if you're new to AT&T or you have a contract that's expired, you can buy an iPhone 3G for $99 or one of these new really fast ones for $199 or $299, depending upon how much stuff you want to store on it. It's pretty exciting.
It sounds great, and my wife and I believe the next month will probably be purchasing it. Vivian in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go to Vivian. Hi, Vivian. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. And I am a loyal Mac person.
Yay.
And I have two questions. One is probably a company secret, and you can't tell us. But are you going to be bringing out something which is what I call a notebook, but something be a little bigger than the iPhone, you know, PDA size, and your laptop?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not officially attached to Apple in any way, so I have no company secrets to divulge. I will tell you, though, that there is
a company you wouldn't be able to divulge.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'd have to sit here and say no comment. But since I'm not technically attached to Apple, I can talk about rumors instead. There are the rumor mill is rife with Apple working on what they call a netbook or a tablet. Nobody's quite sure, but they suspect that Apple is working on something that's exactly like you said, that'll kind of fit that spot between our iPhones and our laptops. Apple, to date, has been pretty uninterested in going after the netbook market. The netbook is these really cheap, tiny little laptops, because the way Apple said is, you know, the user experience is just not very satisfying. They're slow, they're clunky, you can't do everything you'd expect you should be able to do on it, and Apple does not want to put out a product that is going to give anyone a disappointment. They want to go, if they're going to go into a market, they're going to go into it and make everyone go, wow.
Right.
So I suspect that they're working on something. I just have no idea exactly what it is. But knowing Apple and their focus recently, I think they're going to make very certain that it satisfies some need that we have instead of just introducing a product because they could. If you think about the iPod when it came out, Apple looked at the market and said, boy, there is a really strong need for a good music player that you can fit in your pocket. When they saw the phone, they said, hey, we see an opportunity here to make a phone that actually doesn't hate us. We want to make a phone that people like to use. And so they came out with the iPhone. Apple's been really targeted about solving a problem and not just pumping out technology because they can. So I'm very curious to see what shapes up with this, but I think you're probably going to wait maybe a year, is my, you know, looking into a crystal ball guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then my second question is, I started out with the Palm Pilot, mm-hmm. the Palm operating system. Is there any good, easy way to get my address book, for example, into an iPhone? Or iPhone. Does it have to be typed in every single cut, paste, move over?
Nope. This should be doable. I assume right now that you probably sync with an application on your Mac called Palm Desktop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I haven't done this in a couple months, so my brain is a little foggy, but I know it can be done. Somewhere there is an option with Palm Desktop where you can synchronize that Palm Desktop database into the Mac address book and calendar programs. And if it's not built into Palm Desktop, you might check out a little program. I believe it's called the Missing Sync.
Okay.
It's like a little utility you can buy that will do this. And basically what we want to do is we want to get the Palm Desktop into the standard Apple applications like iCal and Address Book. Because once they are there, it is a piece of cake to have them show up on an iPhone or an iPod Touch.
Okay.
So I would first, if you have some chance, Google around for how to get Palm Desktop to integrate. The technical term is called Sync Services on the Mac. That's kind of the generic umbrella, the bucket where Apple keeps all of that stuff, and then they dish it out to the different applications as they need it. If it's not built into Palm Desktop, I know there is a utility that will do exactly what you're talking about.
Okay,
and I believe it's called Missing Sync.
Work on that, and maybe at some point I'll be getting an iPhone.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Vivian. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, with your Apple question, be it the phone or the computer. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I was talking with some people at the Apple store, this was a month or so back, mm-hmm. and asking them some questions. And they don't know. Apple keeps things pretty close to its vest.
Yes, and I think it's a strategic move. I think Apple likes to do that because what it does is it builds this incredible anticipation because nobody knows what's going to come out until they get on the stage and start going through the slides. And then it's this big, exciting, wow, look what Apple just did. And yeah, you get that, and it can be very frustrating for, say, a business that needs to plan 6 or 8 months out in advance because you don't know. I mean, what is going to happen? But the nice part is once they do introduce something, they're usually pretty detailed about it, and they're usually ready to roll with it pretty quickly. One of the other things that was discussed at the Developers Conference, which was every year they put on this big thing called the Worldwide Developers Conference, and that's where all the people who write Apple applications, and I can't say Mac applications anymore because now we have the iPhone, the people who write this great software, they all converge in California, in San Francisco, and then Apple puts on this big deal where they show them the new technology that's coming out. They give all these lectures on how to use it. It's really geared for these people that write programs. One of the things that came out of this year's conference was they were talking about the next version of the Mac OS. Right now we have Mac OS 10.5 Leopard. Mm-hmm. And it's a phenomenal operating system. I love it. It's polished. It's got tons of features. It's fast. It does a lot of things really, really handily. They started talking about the next version, which is macOS 10.6. It's going to come out in September. And for those of us that already have Leopard, it's going to be $29.
Oh.
I don't know. Their big thing is that they just wanted to build a better version of what they already have. They're so proud of macOS 10.5. that they wanted to take it, and how can we make it even better? Not a ton of things that the end user is going to see. The features are almost the same. Lots of little things that got improved. What you will see, though, is it's significantly faster because they did a ton of stuff under the hood. They you know, ripped out the engine and put a whole new engine and transmission in the car, but the car looks about the same. Mm-hmm. So when you install it, you'll get, you know, it takes up less room. It's gonna go faster. It's going to handle things much more gracefully. The web browser gets even faster yet. Tons of improvements. I'm actually pretty excited about it. For those of us that use our Macs in a corporation that has a Microsoft Exchange server, they now have built-in Microsoft Exchange support. So we no longer need Microsoft Entourage. We can use Apple Mail, Apple iCal, Apple Address Book, and have seamless integration with our Exchange servers. And some of those folks listening right now may have no idea what that means, and some people are jumping up and down in their work chairs going, oh my goodness, that's great. So for those of us that need it, that is going to be fantastic. And for those of us that don't, there's a ton of other stuff in there. But for $29, yeah. it's you could almost hear Microsoft go, oh, we were going to charge more than $29 for Windows 7. Now what?
Rich in Oshkosh has a question for you. Hi, Rich.
Hi.
Hi, Rich.
Hello. My question is, I currently have a Mac laptop and an iMac, and soon I have another laptop.
Okay.
And I want to set up a home network and have like a media server.
Sure.
And I was wondering if you could recommend what way to go.
Well, when you say a media server, I'm assuming you're talking about like having your TV shows and your movies and whatnot in one spot that you can kind of share amongst all the different computers?
Right, and also share files amongst each other too.
Sure. And did you want to have a special device just for this purpose, or do you want to use the stuff that you've already got? Because it sounds like you've got quite a bit of Apple product there in your home.
Well, I've been reading about like having like the HP media server or something as your mm-hmm. and build everything off of that. But I was wondering if there's a better route.
Well, I mean, just for keeping it really straightforward, you could do it with your iMac. All you have to do is turn on iTunes, and there is an option there called sharing. And when you do that, when you have your other Macs on the same network, which would happen, you know, if you've got a standard configuration with a standard router and wireless and whatnot in your home,
mm-hmm.
Your laptops will see the entire library that your iMac has. So all the playlists you set up, all of that stuff would stream right off of your iMac. You can go into the preferences and turn on personal file sharing. And with 10.4 or 10.5, that file sharing will show up in all of the other Macs, and you can use that as your central file storage too. So if you wanted to keep, say, some Word and Excel files handy that everybody would get to use, you could just leave them on the iMac and share them that way. So you don't necessarily need to get a special device if you don't want to. Apple has some of this stuff built into their new Time Capsule device. It's their wireless router with a hard drive built into it. It has some basic media sharing capabilities built into it. But most of it's already, well, all of it is already there with your iMac that you have now.
Okay, then a follow-up question is, I'm a little concerned about if something were to happen as far as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some of these servers have, like, two drives in them.
Right.
One copies the other one at all times.
Right.
If I wanted to go that route, then what would I do?
Well, there's two things you're talking about, and I think what you're talking about is called a RAID, or a redundant array of inexpensive disks. And what happens is you've got two hard drives in a computer, and they are constantly mirrors of each other. So if one hard drive should fail, without having any downtime, you can immediately pick up from that second hard drive. And for servers and businesses, this is very important because they can afford zero downtime. It's very expensive if the server goes down and nobody can get to their files or their email. It's not a backup, though. For example, if you accidentally delete a folder, these two hard drives are in constant sync with each other. It's deleted off both of them. What you're probably looking at more is a backup. Now, if you have 10.5 on your iMac, they have built-in backup software called Time Machine, which works extraordinarily well. And regardless of whether you're using a media server or not, I strongly recommend if you have 10.5, you should get an external hard drive, plug it in. The Mac will politely ask you if you want to use this as a backup source, and you say yes, and you're pretty much done. Your Mac will start backing up on an hourly basis to this external hard drive. It's very thorough, it's very complete, and if something ever were to happen, either with a single file or something catastrophic would happen with the entire machine, you have a complete backup. You can restore everything to exactly how it looked 1 hour ago. And I would do that regardless of whether you're doing the media serving and the file serving. I would make sure all of your Macs are backed up because we have so much important stuff there. We have our email, we have our photos, we have our address book, and we don't realize it how important that stuff is until something happens to our machine and we go, wait a minute, I don't have paper copies of people's addresses anymore. There was all in my computer. So backing up our computers is so important, and that's part of why Apple made it so easy to do in 10.5 with Time Machine. So I would definitely look, if you don't have it already, is get an external hard drive. If you don't have 10.5, there are utilities you can use in 10.4. They're not quite as slick, but they will get the job done. There's a free one by LaCie called Silverkeeper. If you Google around for that, you'll find that. And basically what it'll do is you just point it at a folder that you want to have backed up, point it at another folder of where you want it to go, and tell it to do its thing.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Joe Rhodes, our guest, as we talk Apple computers and accessories. Joe's Macintosh support specialist in Madison. Joe, what's your website address, by the way?
www.joerhodes.com.
R-H-O-D-E-S.
Yep. Yep, and it's not because I'm that vain. I'm just not very creative. and I have a blog there. If you look at the top, there's a link for my WPR blog, which I shamefully have not posted a lot. it's summer. It's very exciting. There's all this stuff to do outside. So,
Joe Rhodes, our guest, Jim Packard, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in with a question about your Apple computer or maybe the iPhone, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Joe Rhodes, our guest, and Joyce in Green Bay, you're next. Hi, Joyce.
Hello. I have a question. I was just tuned in, and I heard the lady speaking about her Palm and trying to sync information. And I have, at this time, a mobile phone, HTG or something.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if Apple is coming out with anything that when I sync, that I can sync my calendar over and it would put it in color format, because I like to organize all my appointments in color code so that I know where I'm at when I just look at the whole month. Is that anything that is being worked on?
Well, a lot of that depends mostly on the phone itself. So there is a program that Apple has called iSync, which will sync a certain number of mobile phones, depending upon if they're supported or not, with Apple's standard iCal address book and such. If the phone you're using is not supported directly by iSync, there is this third-party application called the Missing Sync.
Okay.
And basically, this company makes their money by going after all of these phones that Apple doesn't officially support and either supporting them or doing it better than Apple did it. Now, as for color coding, I'm assuming, are you an iCal user now?
I use the Tungsten E Palm right now.
Okay.
And
so you're probably using like Palm Desktop, I'm assuming?
Yes, that is correct.
Apple doesn't necessarily tag individual appointments with different colors. What they have is a concept of multiple calendars. So, for example, I have a calendar for my home life, my work life. I have a calendar for bills so I can remember to pay them on time. And each one of those calendars has a different color. So as I add appointments to my work calendar, they're green. As I add appointments to my home calendar, they're blue. And as I add appointments to the bills calendar, they're brown. So that's about as much color differentiation as you get in Apple standard programs, and those are the things that sync back and forth.
Does that come up as like three different tabs?
Well, in iCal, they show up as three different things, and you can put check marks. You see them all at the same time, or you can uncheck them if you don't care. Like, for example, if I don't want to look at the bills, I can hit a little checkbox, and those appointments all disappear. Now, how that gets handled on your phone is entirely up to the phone and the phone manufacturer. Many phones have no concept of multiple calendars. They just have a calendar.
Right.
Or maybe they do something different. And it sounds, from what you said, it sounds like your phone might do this, where you can tag individual appointments with different colors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is not something that translates back to iCal, because iCal doesn't do that. So some of those things get lost in translation, depending upon how people thought about the problem.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I would, check out Missing Sync. It does a lot of cool things for phones that aren't officially supported.
Thanks, Joyce. Sally in Kenosha, we're on to you now. Hi, Sally.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, Joe, if you've heard, I know that iPhone, there's their contract with AT&T ends in 2010?
There's speculation as exactly when it ends, but I know that there are, I would say, heated or very high pressure negotiations between Apple and AT&T. That's what I've heard, again, via the rumor mill. Nobody's come out and said it. I suspect that Apple has been applying a little arm twisting with the recent iPhone 3.0 software announcement. For example, there's two features that are not immediately available to AT&T customers, but they will be available to overseas customers immediately. One is multimedia messaging. So if you want to, say, include a picture in a text message, well, AT&T customers don't get to do that until this fall when AT&T finally gets the technology ready and does it. But in France, for example, you'll be able to do that right away. You'll be able to take a picture, include it in your text message, and send it off, which is some people think is a really neat feature. The other thing, and I think Apple is really putting the pressure on AT&T to get with the ball, or get on the ball with this one, is tethering. With other mobile phones, you can attach your phone to your computer, and you can use your mobile phone's internet connection and share that connection with your laptop. Apple announced the technology, but they were somewhat obvious in their omission of mentioning AT&T as one of the supporting partners. And I can't help but look at that and go, I think Apple is trying to put some pressure on AT&T to say, listen, guys, step it up. We want this, you know, we want our users to have this, and we're going to apply a little public pressure now by publicly including the capability so everyone knows it's you that's not delivering. I think there's some negotiations, and I think there's some pressure being applied.
So you don't think they'll ever go to a different service? Multiple services there?
I don't know, like another carrier for those of us that either can't use or just don't like AT&T. I have heard rumors one way and the other. Apple officially came out at one point, one of their VPs came out and said, we are very happy with our relationship with AT&T and we have no immediate plans on changing it. So that tells me that they're reasonably satisfied with what AT&T is doing. The thing that right now is keeping them with AT&T is AT&T uses a specific technology for the radio called GSM. And that's the technology the rest of the world uses, too. Apple wants to build one phone with one kind of radio that works everywhere. Well, the other major carriers in the U.S. don't use GSM. They use a different standard. I think it's called CDMA or TDMA or something like that. The point is it uses a different style of radio. So if Apple wanted to, say, sell their phone with Verizon, they'd have to build a model specifically for Verizon that had a different kind of radio in it. And Apple is not really interested in doing that. They want to have one piece of hardware that works everywhere with, different language. So I don't know if Apple's going to jump ship to a different carrier or not, but I suspect that the looming threat of that is applying some pressure to AT&T.
Oh, okay.
Because that iPhone is bringing a lot of customers into AT&T. There's no getting around it.
Mm-hmm. And then, that was my major question, but then I also had another question. I have an older Mac.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iBook. It's like about 3 years old, but it was right before the Intel chip.
Sure.
So I have a backup, another hard drive, and I back up, but I have to back it up manually.
Okay.
Because I was noticing that when I talked to people on Apple, because I had that 3-year contract where I got three free,
sure.
you
AppleCare.
Know. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe me, but I actually, when it was backing up, when I didn't do it manual, when it let it happen, whatever was backing it up, I don't know. It wasn't like backing everything up. What happened is if I deleted anything on my computer, and because I thought it was backed up on the hard drive, then when it backed up again, that would be taken off my other hard drive.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Do you know what version of Mac OS X you're using? Are you using 10.5 or 10.4? 10.4. Okay. So
10.11 or something like that.
Sure. 10.4.11. Good. Because that's the last major release they had of 10.4. 10.4 did not include built-in backup software. So you're using some sort of backup utility. And I suspect if it's something like LaCie Silver Keeper or one of the little freebie utilities that works reasonably well, what they do is they mirror two sets of folders. So you have a folder on your Mac and a folder on your hard drive, and they basically mirror them. Depending upon exactly, you'd have to look at the specific software you're using, and it's hard to say which one. But I know with the ones I've touched before, there's usually a checkbox or a setting where you can say, if I delete something on the master copy, also delete it from the backup. So I suspect that in your backup software somewhere, there is an option that it's set to keep these things in sync. It's kept to keep these things mirrored so that if you do delete something on the one side, it does delete it in the backup as well. Because it sounds like that's what's happening, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. And so then instead, of course, I did the old way where I put everything in a folder and I put a date on the end of it and then dragged it over and backed it up so that I knew that. So then I have things backed up more than once.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
There is the problem with not deleting things when you delete them is your backup archive starts to grow to infinity, and then you have to at some point weed through it and figure out what's going on. There is a program that costs about $30 or $40. Which handles this quite gracefully. It's called Sync. Boy, more Sync today. What's with that?
Yeah, lots of Sync.
S-Y-N-K. And if you Google for it, you'll find it pretty fast. And it has a fairly elegant way of dealing with things that would otherwise have been deleted or overwritten. It will move them off into a separate folder with a date stamp for you. And you can say, keep the last 30 days worth of stuff like that. So it'll keep the two folders exactly mirrored. And then anything in the backup folder that it would have either thrown away or overwritten, it will slide off into this other side folder with a date, and then you choose how many of those folders are kept for how long. And I found that to be a very elegant way of doing it, but you got to pay for the utility. But, you know, if that's important to you, that's not a bad option.
Yeah, no, I want everything backed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to lose anything.
And you want to keep those just-in-case copies in case you accidentally delete something. Yeah, that's a great idea. So I would recommend Sync, S-Y-N-K.
And good luck. Thank you, Sally. Robert and Nita, we're on to you. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Hi, Joel. A real quick question here. It doesn't really have anything to do with Apple in general, but just computers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on VA disability, and I don't have a computer. I don't have satellite. I don't have a cell phone.
You sound like you've got a very quiet life. I like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. But as you know, there are a lot of things that most people have to do nowadays, trying to get information through the Internet. And I can't afford a computer, and I'm wondering what the average type person like me can do.
Well, you've got a couple of options, and probably the best one, and I so understand where you're coming from, because so much of our world now is just assuming that you've got a computer and internet access. I mean, it's an assumption, and if you don't have one, it's one of those like, well, how do I get to that form, or how do I get to that? Even the IRS, they publish so much information on their website, and they're kind of assuming that everyone can get there. If you have access to a public library, that is your first and best bet, because they will have computers there, they will have high-speed internet access, generally, and they will have usually someone there that can kind of help you with some of the basic stuff, like, okay, how do I get to the IRS's website to get these forms, and how do I print them out? So most public libraries do have that capability for people that, you know, can't afford their own or can't afford their own internet access. It's not necessarily very private, so I don't know that I'd want to do my online banking at the library. But, you know, chances are you're not doing online banking, but you want to be able to go in and you know, pull up a form or research a particular medication or find out a new, you know, stretching regimen or something like that. That is a great place to utilize your public library.
And I know someone who does not have a computer, and that's exactly what she does. She goes to the library pretty often and finds it great.
Well, you know, and the bright side about that is, you know, I have my laptop and my iPhone, and they're with me all the time, and I have a very short attention span, and a lot of times I end up learning some very esoteric knowledge that I just happen to stumble upon, and then I come back 2 hours later and go, but I forgot to learn the thing I wanted to learn. And if you're like, I'm going to go to the library for 2 hours and I'm going to research this, you're going to be a lot more focused. You're going to be a lot less distracted. And then you get to take those 2 hours and go outside and do something nice or spend time with your kids. Or there's benefit to that. And I appreciate that kind of lifestyle, I have to admit.
So good luck, Robert, and take a look at your local branch library. And I'm sure I know there's one in Neenah. And you're going to have an eye-opening experience. Thank you for calling, and good luck. Charlie in Viroqua, we're on to you now. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, and how are you today?
Great.
Great, Charlie.
Okay, I wish I could say the same, but much like your previous caller, I've on a tight budget. I do have an old desktop, but have only been able to afford dial-up service.
Mm-hmm.
For the past nigh on 10 years now, my ISP has been Merrimack Communications out of Merrimack.
Okay.
And was under this understanding that they were gradually expanding their service at least through the southern half of the state. I've just relocated to Viroqua, and when I checked on service here, they told me that, well, we've now got service for practically the entire country.
Except Viroqua.
Viroqua.
Oh. Yeah.
And they will not tell me why that is so and whether there's going to be any change in that situation.
Sure. The nice part is you can look around. Do you know who the local phone providers are in Viroqua?
Not really. I've just been here for a matter of days.
Okay. I would look around. There are now high-speed internet services that are about the same price as dial-up. You can buy, and high speed, when I say high speed, it's not as fast as perhaps some of us are used to, but it's much better than dial-up, where you can get reasonably good service over your telephone line for about $20 to $30 a month. And I don't know how that compares with your dial-up service, but in the past...
Three times as much.
Oh, okay. So you've got a pretty discounted dial-up service. The last service I remember was around $20 a month that my mom had. But it wouldn't hurt to check with the local phone company and just see what is their most basic... provider for high speed, because you might be pleasantly surprised.
I'm going to check on that today if I can. There is a local computer shop.
Okay.
Check with them first at least, but I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in this area, so I'm very hesitant to take on a new service.
Right, absolutely. The other option is you could go with a different dial-up provider. There is a company called Net Zero that specializes in that kind of thing. And basically, you have to find somebody who's got a local telephone number, because you don't want to pay long-distance charges every time you check your email.
No.
Which, I mean, you could still use the Merrimack service. It was just, it would cost you an arm and a leg, which that's no good. Net Zero is one option. I'm sure if you do a Google search...
Check them by netzero.com.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you could check AOL. I don't know if... I haven't, you know, it's been so long since I've used AOL. I don't know if they're still doing dial-up, but I assume that they are. I just don't know if they're going to be the most cost-effective, because in the past, they were one of the more expensive dial-up providers, but times have changed dramatically, so maybe that has changed. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think if there's any big national ones off the top of my head. And I can't come up with them, but your local computer store would probably be able to, if they don't have some off the top of their head that they could recommend for you, they could certainly help you with a Google search and find some that would have a local number that would be reasonable.
I will check on that. Do you have any idea why Viroqua is not being served by MER? Help it might be, I just heard that Sprint does not provide service in the Viroqua area either.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to say. With dial-up service, there's a telephone on each end. And so what these folks do is they put a whole bank of telephones in a location somewhere that's within your area code, so it's not long distance. And for whatever reason, they've chosen not to stick a bunch of telephones somewhere in your vicinity, so it's not a long distance call. And that's I have no idea. It's some business decision, I would assume, that they've decided there's not a good enough return on investment. The dial-up market, because the broadband has been getting faster and faster and cheaper and cheaper, the dial-up market has really been kind of dying off. It's kind of going the way of the travel agent. It's there for specialized needs, but so much of the country now is covered under high speed, and it's gotten so much less expensive than it used to be. I mean, it used to be $70 a month. I had one of the first DSL connections in Madison. It was $70 a month. And now you can pick it up for $20 or so with your local phone service. So it's my hunch is it probably has something to do with economics.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Charlie, and good luck to you. Appreciate your call. And Spencer in Madison, hello.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about a music organization on Macintosh computers.
Okay.
I have a very large music library, and it's ever-growing. It's around 400 gigabytes right now.
Holy cow.
And I'm kind of losing faith in iTunes, not to sound so cynical, but it's getting too frilly. There's Genius now and all the, I don't know, I'm not really a fan of it. So I was wondering if you knew of any other music organizing programs for Macintosh that can integrate well into the operating system.
You know, off the top of my head, I have to say no. I've not really seen a lot of alternate players. There are some open source projects, and one, it's geared more towards video, but I imagine it would handle audio as well, called VLC. But it's not going to do so much as what iTunes tries to do is tries to be a music management system. So rather than you have to mess around with the individual files and where they are and what they're called, iTunes tries to handle all that for you so you don't have to move files around. Whereas these other ones, they're just simple players, and it's up to you to, you know, put the folders where you want them and name them accordingly and keep track of that. And I don't know if they do things like keep track of how many times you've played your songs or things like that. So I haven't seen anything that does quite what iTunes does. And I'm sure there's some listeners who can probably call in and give us a hand with that, because I'm sure there's something out there. I just haven't really heard much of it. I don't have a 400 gigabyte library though. So you're probably hitting the upper limit there.
Yeah, you probably are. Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. Someone else phoned in to say there is for our previous caller from Viroqua, there is a communications co-op in Viroqua. And the previous caller should look up that communications cooperative. So,
and my hunch is that if he goes to the local computer store, someone there will know about that one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Joe, always a pleasure. And again, your website
is joerodes.com.
Joerodes.com, and there's a Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right at the top, yeah.
Right at the top. Boy, it's always a lot of fun, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to your next visit, Joe.
Great.
Joe Rhodes, self-employed Macintosh support specialist in Madison, has been doing this for many years now and does a great job. Joerodes.com, that's the place to go, and Rhodes is spelled R-H-O-D-E-S. Coming up, we're going to take a look at prescription eyewear with Jim LaLuzerne of DePere. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.